first House GOP member said they were firmly against extending the payroll tax cut unless it was balanced by equal cuts in spending. Then they said they not only supported the cut, but they supported it so much that a temporary fix wouldn't do it, only a year-long extension. Now they've backtracked and accepted the deal that just days ago they swore was unacceptable. Help us understand. Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Celeste.
So it appears that the House GOP members bowed to pressure, but pressure from where? It looks like most of that pressure came from their own party.
The pressure came from every single corner, and it was ultimately, I think, the pressure from within their own party that caused them to relent. And by the way, not every House Republican has relented. This could still get interesting later on today, but certainly House leaders have relented. John Boehner, Eric Cantor, the Speaker, especially. Celeste, the pressure was from all around. Of course, it was from Senate Democrats. It was from Democrats all over television. From the president, let me play you a clip from the president yesterday, 1 p.m. in the White House. Here's the pressure from the bully pulpit.
An overwhelming number of people in both parties agree. How can we not get that done? I mean, has this place become so dysfunctional that even when people agree to things, we can't do it?
That's pressure from the president. Yeah, that's pressure from the president, and that's predictable. Republicans started to worry.
It's predictable,
Celeste,
but it's harsh.
It's harsh, and here's the thing, that criticism was right over the plate of Barack Obama's narrative for the election, which essentially says John Boehner is a reasonable guy, but we have elected House Republicans, conservatives, Tea Party members who are so far outside of the mainstream, I'm trying to get things done. They block me at every turn. They say that in many different ways. And this debate was starting to play that narrative all by itself. So it wasn't just criticism, though, that was coming from the president. Look, this 2-month extension was passed by the Senate, let's remember, 89-10, overwhelming bipartisan vote that was brokered by Mitch McConnell himself. McConnell voted for it, Tea Party senators voted for it, then the House roundly rejected it. Then pressure started to come from individual senators who are up for re-election, making individual statements. Hey, House, take this 2-month deal. We'll negotiate a 1-year deal later on unemployment insurance and the payroll tax cut. That didn't do it. The Wall Street Journal editorial board jumped in. House Republicans, it's over. Take this. That didn't do it. Karl Rove jumped in. Republicans, you're getting beat up. The politics are important. Take this deal. Finally, yesterday afternoon, Speaker John Boehner decided to take the deal and try to pass this thing by unanimous consent later on today.
Well, part of that, I mean, here's the president, and it appears that his exasperation was echoed by the thousands of people. I reportedly, maybe it was hundreds, but I read thousands of people who called into Capitol Hill. Take a listen to Obama frustrated again.
Enough is enough. The people standing with me today can't afford any more games. They can't afford to lose $1,000 because of some ridiculous Washington standoff.
All right, and that appears to be, if you judge by the switchboard at Capitol Hill, that appears to be something that many people related to.
The White House has been resorting to a tactic since the debt limit debate of going directly to the people on Twitter, on telephone, on Facebook. Send us your complaints. Send us your ideas. They did the same thing here. They had a Twitter hashtag $40 or what $40 can do. I can't remember precisely what it was. And getting people to write into the White House. The president surrounded himself with everyday people at this speech. You couldn't see the people behind him, but they were very, very much everyday people for the camera who really could use $40 per paycheck. The president is running against Congress. There's no doubt about it. You heard it in both of those statements there. And it was just becoming more and more painfully obvious that the Republicans had been outmaneuvered on an issue that they usually own, tax cuts. And the president is running against Congress, and Congress, i.e. House Republicans, seemed like they were standing in the way of a common sense tax cut, whether or not that's fair. The White House had won this debate, and it was time for Republicans just to get it out of the headlines.
All right. Well, you had President Obama able to kind of make some sweeping emotional statements that a lot of people related to. But here's John Boehner speaking about his agreement with his disagreement with the agreement. I'm not sure.
The Senate will join the House in immediately appointing conferees with instructions to reach an agreement in the weeks ahead on a full 1 year of payroll tax deduction, along with unemployment reforms and extension of unemployment and the so-called doc fix for 2 years.
All right. That's not quite as snappy as ridiculous Washington standoff.
Well, that is the one-year bill that everybody says they want. Now, here's what Republicans had said they wanted all along out of this deal, was a conference committee. House representatives, Senate representatives come together, talk about a one-year deal. Everybody says they're for a one-year deal, but Celeste, if there were a one-year deal to be had right now, we'd have it. We wouldn't be talking about this two-month extension. The whole reason Mitch McConnell helped pass a two-month extension 89-10 out of the Senate was because they couldn't get to an agreement. There's a lot of disagreement over pay-fors. Republicans want to pay for that one-year deal with cuts to Medicare. They're taking billions out of the Affordable Care Act, known disparagingly to Republicans as Obamacare. There are freezes to federal workers, to their pensions and to hiring. All things Democrats don't want to go for. That conference committee is going to meet. They have an agreement to meet and try to get a deal by February. I'm telling you not to expect too much from it. Nobody can force them to reach an agreement. Remember the super committee?
Yeah.
How far did that get? This is the same kind of deal. We're going to be back at this in 2 months. And I think what's likely to happen, nobody knows for sure, that conference committee, it's going to be tough for them to produce a deal. And we might be back negotiating between the leaders in 2 months, just the same as we are now. Of course, in between now and then, Celeste, January 24th, don't forget the nightmare scenario for Republicans, the State of the Union address in prime time in front of a joint session of Congress where Americans really are paying attention to what the president is saying. And Republicans have been worrying all along that this two-month extension allows the president in an election year to get out in front of the country, stand in the face of Congress and wag his finger as he runs against them. And I think that's all the more likely to happen right now.
Here's my bigger question for you, Todd. More of the same in 2012. I mean, really, does it appear as though this sort of obstruction going on in Washington means we will get very little done until the presidential election?
You raise a great point, and the answer is maybe not. Republican operatives on the Hill who I speak to, Celeste, say privately, these fights have been good for them to an extent. Part of it is strategy. Part of it is mollifying angry members. John Boehner does have a difficult conference to manage. After New Year's, when we're officially in election year, you can probably expect less of the naked obstruction, less of the optics that make it look like Republicans are simply opposing the president at every turn. They don't think it serves them. It serves them up to a point, but they don't want to have a scenario like this happen after New Year's when people are paying more attention. So maybe things will get smoother.
Oh, that would be a wonderful New Year's present. Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Merry Christmas to you, or Happy Hanukkah, Todd. Have a great one.
And to you, Celeste.